Dear Lord, thank you for thy word that is available to us. Thank you for the blessing that is already extended to us that we're here this morning, and the blessing that will be to those who are gathered around thy word at other places. Speak to us, Lord. May we say as a man of old, speak thou, Lord, for thy servant hear it. May we hear, may we understand, may we take it to heart. In Jesus Christ we pray and thank thee. Amen. Dear ones, for our meditation this afternoon, I would like to read a portion of scriptures in Luke 19. Luke 19. I would read first 27 verses. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed upon a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. And as they heard these things, he added and spake a parable, because he was nigh to Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God should immediately appear. He said, Therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, Occupy till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him, saying, We will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned after receiving the kingdom, then he commanded the servants to be called upon him to whom he had given the money, that he may know how much every man had gained by trading. Then came the first, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, Well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound has gained 5 pounds. And he said likewise to him, Be thou also over the five cities. And another came saying, excuse me, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I fear thee, because thou art austere man, thou takest up that which thou layest not down, and reapest that thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee, thou wicked servant. Thou knowest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then givest not thou my money into the bank, that at my coming I might have reaped mine own with usury or with interest? And he said unto them that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to them that had 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that unto every one which hath shall be given, and from him that had not, even that he had, shall be taken away from him. But those mine enemies, which would not that I should reign over them, bring hither and slay them before me. I have read 27 verses. I'm still in my mind going over recent past, the end of the year, the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the beginning of a new year. And last Sunday I couldn't be here, but I made sure that I listened to the tape. And I noticed that Brother Dusko was talking about Haggai, where a prophet tells the people, consider your ways, consider what you are proclaiming, consider what you are doing. Consider to what extent you care for your own houses and properties, and house of the Lord lies waste. That has become second or third priorities in your life. Consider your ways. You know, that is a theme good for end of the year. It's also a theme good for beginning of the year. That we consider our ways as opposed to the standard that God gives in his word. Because when we measure something, we have to have some point of reference. And that is the best reference we have when we consider God's word. And then I heard Brother Joe talk from Colossians chapter 3 in the afternoon. Above all, have charity. God, Jesus Christ spoke so much about love and charity. One of the names that we have for God is love. That is his essence, that is his attribute. And Jesus taught, an apostle Paul taught from the same Holy Spirit, that we as brotherhood, above all, that the very fundamental thing that we share amongst us would be that we have above all charity, that we work things out in the scope of that charity. And let the peace of God rule your heart. And that goes together, love and peace. And let the word richly dwell and do all things in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. I don't mean to repeat your service, brother, sermon, Brother Joel, but isn't that a good parameter to have for a new year? Consider our ways and work in the way that God prescribes. Now, of course, I had no idea what Brother Dave was going to talk this morning, but it's marvelous how all things fit together when we put it in the context of the scriptures. For some reason, I was reading a lot of in the last previous chapter, Luke 18 and Luke 19. And this is sort of beginning of the end of Christ's ministry on this earth. In Luke chapter 18, we are first told about, Jesus speaks a lot. My Bible is not a red letter edition, but I have another one that is. Jesus speaks a lot of things in chapter 18 and 19, and I sort of get joined to it. He speaks of unrighteous judge. How one can judge who really didn't have qualms about what's right and what's wrong. He didn't care about the widow, that she was oppressed. But because of her persistence, her importunity, it says in old King James language, she would not give up. Her needs were so great, and he had no qualms about admitting, I don't care about her, but because she is bothering me, she's persisting with it, I will release it. And Jesus told them, and you and me today, how different God is. He does care what is right and what is wrong. And he is more than willing to answer your and my prayer. And that is encouragement for you and me, brothers and sisters, for the beginning of new year. Bring your petition. Life can get complicated. Life can get tough. Life is not always fair. Your motives may be questioned and put under microscope. And you maybe at the point of giving up, so bring your petition to the Lord. Don't stop praying for your particular situation, for situation of those that you love, your family, your friends. You know, Marilyn told me this morning, as she told me that before, in the not so distant past, she has fallen and she has been on the floor for 3 days and three nights. And now they're talking about hospice. Because if there was a tumor on one place on the brain, they may operate. But when it's three different places, they really don't know what to do. So, you know, with Marilyn, we've been going through that for 10, 12 years or so, but she said, it looks like the end is here, and I'm ready, but she needs your prayer, she needs my prayer, and we each other need our prayers. And in Luke 18, Jesus said, look what unrighteous judge did the right thing for the wrong reason. How much more God will deliver those who pray to him day and night. And then in the next verse, Jesus talks about Pharisees and Sadducees. when publican, a Pharisee and publican went to the temple to pray. So first, Jesus told us, encourage us to pray because God is so much better than the unrighteous judge. And in the next breath, he's telling us how to pray, not as the Pharisee who boasted basically of all the good things that he's done and he's doing. But the publican says, Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. I could not lift his eyes toward heaven because that's where the holy God is and I'm a sinner. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. That's the attitude that will bring all the attributes that Apostle Paul talks in Colossians. Charity, peace, to richly dwelling in the Word and let the Word richly dwell in you, possess you, control you. And then Jesus met one disciple who asked what needs to be saved, and he said, you know the commandments? He said, I've done all those things. He said, yet lackest thou one thing. You have one thing that you need to address in your life. And that's what God will do to you and me when we persist in prayer, when we acknowledge him as sinners. He will point that one thing that you and I lack, and in many cases it may be more than one thing, but there is one thing that we continue to stumble. Maybe if he was not so persistent, maybe Jesus would not have told him. But when he said, I've done all those things, then he points out. So be persistent with the Lord. Ask him. And if you have that inclination, Lord, I've done all these things, then he'll show you where you need to grow up. He will show you where you need, where you're lacking or where I'm lacking. But we must be willing to hear. And Peter sees and hears all of that. And he says, Lord, what will be with us? Look, we've given up everything. We follow you. What did the Lord says? There will be manifoldly returned. Whatever you give up, for Lord's sake, it will be multiply return to you. And the last thing in that previous chapter, it's a half an hour, I'm not even gotten to my text. That's how it goes sometimes. It's the beginning of the end. Jesus is coming toward Jericho, and then he's going to go to Jerusalem and triumphant entry, big grand finale. And there is a beggar. There is a blind man. I think I'm assuming it's a beggar. Blind man couldn't get much thing done. Crying out, Jesus, have mercy on me. Shh, be quiet. No, he cries out just like that widow at the beginning of with an unrighteous judge. He would not be silenced. Lord, have mercy on me. That brings us to Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus too had a problem. There's one thing. Blind man, he wanted to see. He said, Lord, that I may see. Zacchaeus, we are told that he was rich. He would see Jesus. He sought to see Jesus. His problem was there are too many people having the same idea. And as rich as he was, he could not buy an inch or a foot to his statue. We need to remember that fact. I think when I was young, I had much different idea about what it means to have some money. I thought I would save a lot of my problems. Turned out, not that I have much now, but you know, at least I learned that does not solve your problems. That sometimes creates your problem more than it solves. So what did he do? He climbed upon a tree. And Jesus was not notified by anybody. He looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, you come down." And not only come down, but make haste. For today, I must be in thy house. Has Jesus told you to do anything in your life so far, and you have put it off? Why are you not inviting Jesus in your life today, until today? What more does he need to offer you? You know, Brother Dave talked about Jonah. Yeah, I think Brother Tim sort of stole my thunder. You know how Jonah says, "I'm a Hebrew and I fear God, the Lord of heaven and earth." Well, you're not doing a very good job in fearing the Lord of heaven and earth if you're running in the opposite direction to where Lord tells you to do. Well, same thing is with you. If you call yourself Christian somehow because you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, but you have not done and you are not doing what Jesus Christ commands you to do, you're not inviting him into your house, into your heart. You're not allowing him to dwell in you, to control you, to possess you. And when one makes a stand for Jesus, accepts him, there's immediate opposition. They murmured against the Lord because he is going to be a guest of a sinner. And like that publican who was praying next to the Pharisee, he does not argue the point. He doesn't try to wriggle out. He said, "Lord, half of my goods I give. And if I gain anything by false accusation, I return fourfold, not just the minimum that the law requires. Fourfold." And what does Jesus say? "Today is the salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, son of faith, man of faith, who has obeyed when the Lord says, 'Get thee out of Ur of Chaldeans, go where I want you to go.' You and I are called to be that son of Abraham and daughter of Abraham. Because that is why Jesus is come, for Son of Man is come to save, seek and save that which was lost." Is he still seeking you? Is he still searching for you? Is he still inviting you and you're fighting it still? And maybe call yourself, "I'm a Christian, I believe, I just don't show it in my in my life yet. I have all the good intention. I will do it sometimes, someday, some more convenient day. I'll call on you, Paul, to tell me more about Christ. During the Bible class today, Brother Joe mentioned Nathanael. And strangely, Diane, my sister, she texts me this week, says, can you give me the words of that Serbian song about Nathanael? I have not found that song in English or in German or any other, but in Serbian there's a quite a lengthy song that describes Nathanael not only sitting under the palm tree, but also crying and also singing at the same time. Maybe some poetic license in it, but you remember Jonah said, I'm Hebrew, I fear Lord of heaven and earth. Remember what Jesus said to Nathanael. He is Israeli indeed, in whom there is no guile. That kind of Hebrew, that kind of Israeli, that kind of Christian God wants to have. In whom there is no guile, in whom there is no duplicity, in whom there is no calculation. He wants us to serve him and to follow him without reservation, without forethought. And then Jesus spoke about nobleman who is going to go away and receive the kingdom, calls his servants, gives them task to do, and no sooner did he leave, it says, citizens, not servants, citizens say, we don't want this him to rule over you. Very obvious implication how the citizens, the Hebrews, people of God in those days, rejected Jesus as a Messiah. We won't let him rule over us. Please note the difference. You can call yourself Jew, you can call yourself Hebrew, you can call yourself Christian. Unless he rules over you, unless he is not only has a title of king, but rules over you and me, we don't belong to him. And then the point was made about the servants. And in this case, the similar thing where in this case, every servant is given equal, 1 pound, 1 talent. And they were instructed, occupy till I come. Work with it. And when they presented result, they did not say, I made this. They say, your pound worked another pound. And they got commanded. Your pound got 5 pounds. Your pound for us is to work, to occupy, to obey. And the result will be determined by the Lord. Sometimes according to our ability or disability, but God will look at intents of heart and whether we really allow ourselves to be ruled. And then comes this last servant who had a totally different idea. As if he belonged not just to servants, but to citizens. He said, I knew what kind of man you are. You really don't have any right to demand or expect things from me. So I folded your talent in the napkin. Here it is. That's all you're entitled to. That's all authority I'm giving you. You see the attitude? He was supposed to be a servant. The axiomatic, the basic thing is for servant to obey the instruction, the commandment. He disqualified himself from the position of servant by casting judgment on what the character his master is and say, you have no right of anything more than what you gave me. Here it is. It's a clear slate. So what I'm getting out of that, first of all, it's a direct disobedience coupled with a lot of disrespect and arrogance. And it's not what we are called. It's not a title that you and I have, but what we do with what we have. What we do with the Lord's commandment, does his word richly dwell in our hearts? Do we allow him to rule over your and my life? If we put all our heart in it and pray to him constantly, he will show us that one thing that we lacked. But he will also help us that through his grace, we can return to him a little bit more than what he has given us. Because that profit or that return is much more than what we on ourselves can do it. But he will look at you and my heart and he will say, do you want to be my servant? Or do you want to be part of the citizenship, citizenry who categorically and in their life say, we will not that you rule over us. Consider your ways, as Haggai says. Consider your ways in the words of Lord Jesus Christ, in the words of this scripture. And that'll be a good guideline for this year, as many days as the Lord may give us. May the Lord bless his word.